Namaskar. Welcome to Passionate Pulse Podcast. And I'm happy to sit with my first ever guest, like with whom I actually inaugurated my podcast.
Aww.
She's the first one who trusted my vision. And that was a season one of Women Special Express, where we covered the women entrepreneurs, women artpreneurs, and many more. And she's a coming back guest for the season two of Passionate Pulse Podcast. And I'm very excited to come back with the different things. There is so much that has happened in the last 4 years. And there is a huge progress to cover, but there is something very exciting that's coming up. And that's one of the very unique event that she's producing with her dance class. And that's the special reason why we have gathered here. And I am actually looking forward to gather much information how this very unique production that she has put together, a lot of efforts that are going behind the stage. And let's unfold that story. So Shraddhatai, welcome. And I'm really honored, pleased, happy, having a pleasure of, you know, meeting you again.
Thank you. Thank you, Pranani, for bringing me back. And this time it's more exciting than what we did earlier.
Yeah.
And there is no lockdown this time. And we are more excited that we are getting an exceptional creative work of portraying Disney stories through Bharatanatyam, along with live orchestra. And all the orchestra team is in the Bay Area. And these are wonderful Carnatic musicians, as well as we have Hindustani musicians as well.
So your whole team is based in the local Bay Area, including your live music artist?
That's right.
Wow. I mean, I know you have a lot of productions going on. And in the past, you hosted a lot of Padma Vibhushan, Padma Shri artists as well.
That's right.
As your live orchestra. And now it's the whole local team coming together. So if I'm not wrong, there are around 70 students who are on the stage. And what about the live orchestra?
For the live orchestra, we have around 7 of them. And we have, of course, all the dancers who have been learning Bharatanatyam for more than 5 years. Mm. And few beginner level students who will be portraying the dances done by dwarfs for Snow White.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I got an opportunity to include even the very beginner level students this time, thanks to the Disney stories. And they are doing really great.
Yeah. We have heard many classical fusions.
Right.
We have also heard classical music, Western music fusions. But it's a very unique in terms of a dance. And we have not seen that kind of fusion. Maybe it is happening, but probably Bay Area was deprived to see that live theater. So what is it?
It's actually a Bharatanatyam portraying the Disney story. Absolutely. Bharatanatyam portraying the Disney stories. And I came up with this concept because I was seeing a very stagnant growth in the dance class, and students would come, do their regular classes. I had to push a lot to them for practicing at home. And later on, I thought that we're going to come up with a production. So every 1.5 year, I bring a new production for all the dancers to come together and perform. And it's a thematic production.
Mm-hmm.
So this time I thought, what could be a theme that can engage my students? In the past, we did on Krishna, we did on Shiva, Parvati, all the traditional things.
Mm.
But there has to be something that will engage the current generation.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, and, you know, this struck me about the Disney, because the kids are growing in this country.
Mm.
They've grown up here, born and brought up here. Expression is one of the key factors for Indian classical dance. So how will I make them emote and express? And they have grown up watching all the Disney stories.
True.
So there has to be a way of blending. Trust me, I was worried.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit stressed. Is I wish it doesn't look foolish, right?
Yeah.
Because you're bringing a complete traditional dance with traditional music pieces to show a Disney story.
Mm.
So I started doing a lot of my research, and to my surprise, I found music pieces on Pirates of Caribbean done by Indian flutist or Indian raga and all that. And there were certain pieces which were we were able to actually compose the music into the Carnatic Swarams.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be vibrant because my vocalist Shruti, her brother Akshay, all of them. So they have come up with composing certain pieces, the Jati pieces for the pirates, their entry. And then we have an amazing Mridingam artist like Santosh, who has come up with bringing new sound effects to that.
Oh, wow.
And our Marathi guy, Amol Chipulkar, you know him very well. So he will be imposing some more Western music pieces on it.
Wow.
So that it has a blend of the Western music, like you know, the Disney music thing. Plus, you have the Carnatic music, which will be friendly for us dancers to dance upon.
Wow.
So it came out really the way I thought I wanted it to. So I'm really glad that it's looking good now.
I'm sure it will look good. It will come at a very different experience for the audience also. And it's one of the rare and unique production that I see in the dance form. Because what happens specifically like in South Asian, when they have the classical feel and look for the dances, most of the time we have seen the cultural stories back in our whole countries. That mostly the immigrants can relate to a lot of stories, but the people or the kids who are born and brought up here. So that way for them, it is more natural to add, to resonate, to emote those stories. So this is one of the rare production I also can see, and I'm sure the audience is going to take a wonderful experience with them, and we'll love to see as much as audience to witness this event.
Yes, please come.
Yeah, they will, I'm sure. And also I'd like to see how many stories you have woven, how long this production looks like.
This is a 2-hour production, and we have taken stories of Cinderella, Mulan, Moana, then the Disney characters, like the Beauty and the Beast, the utensils of Beauty and the Beast, then Mickey, Minnie, and Daisy Duck, and we have the dwarfs of Snow White.
Wow.
And so these are and then Under the Sea, the Ariel story, and we have 12 beautiful Disney princesses.
Wow.
Who will be dancing together. So we're basically showing that they are partying on an island. They went to an island and they're having a party. And each one of them will be coming and talking about themselves. So we have a Sanchari. Sanchari is the Abhinaya part of every princess coming and talking about herself.
Wow.
Who she was, what happened, and a little bit of philosophy in there. The best part is we have pirates to begin the show.
Okay.
Who meet the genie.
Okay.
And the genie takes the pirates on the different islands of Disney to see and experience the wonder, the feelings, the emotions, the love that the pirates have not been able to experience because they are all the time trying to survive on the sea. So I don't even know how the script came to my brain, honestly. But I'm very excited.
That was my next question. Yeah. Right? As an artistic director, how did you weave in all these stories together to make a whole program? Because it has to go hand in hand, right? It cannot be like just presenting this piece and cut. It cannot be that way.
So here's the thing is, in December, I had a nice meeting with my orchestra team and we told what can be done, how things. And my vocalist, Shruti, says, she's like, Akka, you need to come up with a script. So if you do that, then we can blend it. So here's the thing. So now since this December was a time of holidays, so the kids were home.
Yeah,
so,
and watching their own things.
Yeah, so we were watching Pirates of the Caribbean. And then after that, the next day, I watched Aladdin with my 9-year-old. I'm like, there has to be a way of putting these two people together. So in Aladdin, we saw island. And even in Pirates, we saw that they are on an island because the ship breaks. So I came up with something where the pirates go on an island and on that island, they find a lamp. Now, and through that lamp, they find the genie.
And then
she takes them to a different island. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. We have put some small skits as well. The first time ever I'm actually acting Okay. Because honestly, I'm very scared of acting. I remember when I was in India, I had received a lot of opportunities to audition for serials and Bollywood movies, but I didn't do good because I was so scared. But this time I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. So we've put in some really funny dialogues in there for the teenagers. You know, they can relate to all that. So my teenagers, they are so excited and they have put their heart and soul into the whole production.
Wow.
And, you know, they have given their own inputs. Like I have a 10-year-old who is giving an input. I have a 7-year-old who is giving me an input.
Wow.
Because they know the story. Even for Ariel, I have characters like Sebastian, the crab, Flounder, the yellow fish. Then we have the whale who took Ariel on the top of the ocean. So these three also came up with such wonderful ideas.
So you have many assistant directors and writers.
You can say that. They were so involved. And this is what I really love. Because see, otherwise, when I teach a Jatiswaram, they are like, okay, it's like a spoon feeding thing. You give me, we do it, done. But there is no
connection,
that involvement, that fun of, can we do more adavos, akka? Can we do more footwork, akka? And I'm like, really? This is the magic of what is happening. And we should be very thankful and grateful to Disney for doing this, you know, giving us these beautiful stories.
Yeah. And I definitely wish you best luck for this entire production. And I'm looking forward if there are some sponsors can walk in, because, you know, when we were talking about it last month, when you doing costumes and like so much efforts that went, you don't have a costume designer, you yourself along with your kids, you're designing the costumes, coming up with something different that can still carry the elegance of Bharatanatyam. And at the same time, it gives justice to all the characters.
Absolutely.
So doing that is also phenomenal work. And you actually went and created those costumes just in 10 days of trip and got everything together, from their jewelry to the pirates' hats, shoes, everything. So it's a lot of work, a lot of cost that you're actually putting, bootstrapping, I would say. So I'd like to see if there are any sponsorships that you're looking forward for this show or
not. It would always be a huge benefit for us, because it involves a lot of work, you know, right from having a theater to hiring our musicians to bringing even a small pin clip, you know, we have to make sure. And bringing the blend of Indian classical dance costume and the costume of Disney, because the pirates cannot be wearing pure Bharatanatyam costume, right? And of course, I have a very talented friend of mine. Her name is Shweta, from whom I am getting few more costumes for Cinderella. And I'm calling them as Moana Vasis, Cinderella Vasis, like Ayodhya Vasis, right? So we have like these, you know, lovely titles that I've given to them. So it's a lovely blend of everything. And yes, the cost is definitely huge. But if I can get any kind of help with that, I'm open for it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot of cost it goes behind. So audience, one of you or you have any business and you like to advertise your business on this lovely production and at the same time can extend your help and she can meet with an operational cost, I think that would be a huge help to see how this local talent can put together the theatres that we otherwise pay a huge cost. And what show that she has put together is an immense effort, lot of innovation and so much of creativity. And I think it's so many months of practices together. But at the same time, what she's lacking right now is the funding. And everybody is pitching in from their own class and she's bootstrapping the whole project. This production will definitely grow our scale up very high, provided she gets the funds that she would need to make this production at a scale and at a very professional lines. It would be really great to see that. The show is happening on 5th May, Sunday afternoon, between 1 to 3 p.m.
That's right.
And we would love to see if you're ready for the sponsorship. We'll be providing you all the details. Just text us or WhatsApp us on 341 3410102. I repeat the number, it's 3410102. Just text us saying that Adbhuta sponsorship, keen to know the details. And we will be texting you back with all the relevant links and the details that you should know and how you can approach Shraddhaji to move forward with the sponsorship.
And just see if you are the one who is ready to extend a hand for her. And of course, she's going to talk about a raffle that we're going to do for this production. And maybe you would like to, you know, openly talk about how much the tickets cost and how it's coming together so that the audience understand.
Right. So I've made it affordable for everyone. There is a discount code as well for them. So they can go on the Eventbrite and type Adbhuta. Adbhuta means wonder. The Disney stories through Bharatanatyam. And they will see code which they can use for discounts. And it's a very affordable because we want more kids to come watch, more young crowd to come. Because many times the parents or the kids, they refrain from going to watch Bharatanatyam because sometimes they don't understand the language.
Right.
So here there is a huge scope of understanding what is happening. Everybody knows the Disney stories. So it is not a very high cost. We want a houseful show. We want people to come. And those who have subscribed to your channel, my Instagram page, they can, you know, win a free raffle ticket as well for the show. And they can enjoy themselves and go into a completely different world of wonder.
Yeah, so she has reserved some of the raffle tickets. For that, you need to be a passionate Pulse Podcast subscriber, the YouTube one. And also her Kalavishkar YouTube and the Insta channels. We'll be posting those links if you're not a subscriber and you want to participate in the raffles. What you need to do is a very simple step. You want to be a part of that raffle. Just text us your name and the age. For example, kids are doing, and you know, the kids' age is what we want to look forward to. It is open to all. Just text your full name and the age. That way we take you into the raffle. You have to be a subscriber though. Like, you know, for kids, they need not be the subscriber of the YouTube channel, but their parents can be. And then you just let us know that so-and-so persons with so-and-so emails are the subscribers. So that way you will be, you know, entering into the raffle. And the number to text is 3412090102. I repeat, the number is 3412090102. Either you text or WhatsApp, either things work. Also, we'll be sending in the description box, there is a form link to enter into the raffle. That will be an easy option. And who is going to pick the raffle and how the lucky draws are going to, you know, come up. That all depends on her students. They'll be picking. It's not me and her. So you'll be entering. We'll just qualify the entries and give it to the kids by writing the chips. And it's them and that. The raffle is also be online produced. And it will be shown to everyone that how it is getting picked. And tentatively, that will happen when?
It would be last week of April because the show is on May 5th. So we will do it the last week of April. By then, people come back from their spring break as well.
That makes sense, yeah. So that's the timeline you're looking at. And before that, the entries will be locked though before, prior to that, so that they get enough time to prepare and host a proper live show to do that on her YouTube channel on the Kalavishkar, and they'll be doing it so. It's going to be fun that way. I mean, I have never seen, first of all, the theater production that way for a couple of hours that can relate to the people and the audience that's here. Because many times there is a disconnect and that is what you have actually bridging the gap. So Shraddha, let's just unfold some of the other parts. This production, we know that it's very unique, very rare, and you're putting a lot of efforts to get this going. And you have done multiple shows. You last time we saw with the one of the festival that you did the Jhansi Ki Rani production. You have done the Maharaj Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj production, right? So you craft all the stories, the historical, and, you know, make it relatable and put it to the audience. The Krishna show was also very wonderfully done. A lot of different angles of costumes people have seen. So your shows are having a very professional touch, I would say. I mean, the local artists in the Bay Area are top-notch, I feel. Absolutely.
They can really do at a very good, at a professional level. But there is always a pinch because we are doing on a parallel silver screen. And that screen is not getting recognized, the many print. And there are otherwise in our own countries, even the smaller silver screens have gained a
lot.
You know, they get the global exposures. Versus the local talent, the South Asian talent over here, not just for the dance, but even the theater artists. There are multiple productions we have, which is very competitive. But unfortunately, those artists are deprived of the global recognition or the attention that they should be getting. Also, making their theaters full is a very hard thing sometimes. Versus if somebody else is coming and doing similar production, gets house full at a double the cost. So this is the pinch as an artist, I also feel, and I'm sure you as an artistic director and doing theaters for many years have been facing this.
Absolutely.
Problem, conflicts, or whatever you can say. So what do you think, what efforts that has to go in so that our local talent gets a similar level of professional recognition?
So here's the thing, Pranali. Here in this country, or even outside of India, I would say, if I concentrate on India, the manpower is very less. So in India, what happens is there's a huge manpower and there is a huge demand. And the supply, the demand and supply is one of the key factors for any production to go well. So for example, if I come from Maharashtra, Pune, and you know, Pune, Mumbai is a place for Bollywood and movies and all the production that happened. I have been an actress. Before I migrated here, I have worked as a model. I've done stuff. There is, you know, an audience, and there are multiple channels where the artist gets an opportunity.
Right.
Now, if you come to a country like this, where you have diverse public, like people migrating from all parts of the world, you're not talking only in India.
Yeah.
You have to satisfy every person. So, for example, you have a Chinese community, you have Vietnam community, you have Indian community, you have so many, and even in Indian community, we have 10 other communities, right? So now with all this, how is it possible for us to really outstand and get to the normal people? Now, I have a friend who is from Maharashtra, but she doesn't speak Marathi, right? They won't watch Marathi productions. So for example, if I plan to start a production house, right? And I start producing Marathi serials here in the US, how much public, how many people are there to watch it?
So if you look at the segment overall, it's a short segment.
Right. So it's a small community. And that is where the biggest challenge we face. Now, what happens in artists coming from India, they get lucky because, again, they are on a bigger platform. They are on, now the social media is here. But before that, they are on movies, which is professionally distributed in different places. Now we are having one movie of actually my cousin Madhura Velankar. Her movie is coming. It is all her three shows are like houseful.
Right.
So because she's on a global platform, she gets lucky throughout India and outside India. Now for me, even though I know I'm equally talented, I can do wonders if I really go back and plan to go into this field. But I know that I'll have to go back to India to get that kind of stardom. To get here, that avenue is still opening. It has to open. But if we plan, I think there is still a possibility of us also enjoying our stardom.
Yeah.
Where we will also be under the celebrity thing. So that's what annoys me sometimes. And many of the dancers or the actors or, you know, who are living here, it annoys because it is difficult to make a bread and butter out of this profession this country.
Yeah.
Of course, you have exceptions like the person who played the character in Three Idiots.
He's Omi Vaidya.
Omi Vaidya. He was there, but he did
profession in that field.
Hmm.
But for me, of course, this is my profession. Indian classical dance is a profession. But unfortunately, I don't get hired by any
bigger production.
Shada, come and do a choreography for our
films. Or whatever. Yeah.
But I got that when I was in Pune.
Hmm.
Can you just come and do a dance production on or perform in this film festival, perform for Pune festival,
hmm,
or choreograph for our short film? It was because there's a film television institute right there in Pune. We don't have it here.
I mean, we do have it. The only disconnect is it's a different stream. And all these, the acting or, you know, all these theaters that we're talking about, the different regions, different genres, they are yet to blend into the cult. And, you know, do the massive explore for the audience. It's going to be amazing gateway where, you know, a lot of talent can do. And it will be only the local talent that performs.
Right.
So let's not add any other different flares. Because the local talent is what is getting deprived, and their own talent is not getting houseful, right? Their own productions are not getting houseful as much as it should have been. Yeah, and then it is also sometimes becomes a capacity issue, because as you said rightly, being an artpreneur, it's very difficult to make your bread and butter out of it. I mean, it's true globally, but there are still multiple streams that I've opened in the other parts of the world that we see that it is still a possibility. Versus here, it's even difficult to meet the operational cost and the whole production, the whole labor cost, everything is like too high for us to meet with that and come to that level. And even to decide, like, you know, you want to professionally tour your show.
Yeah.
It needs a huge backup.
It needs a lot of planning. I tried doing something last year. You were a part of it, if you remember.
Yeah.
I had got, you know, one of the artists from India. We did a retreat. We did a performance. But taking that certain performance as a tour all over US was very challenging.
Mm.
Because, again, you're competing with the other artists who are coming from India.
And bigger production houses.
So, again, being a Maharashtrian, if I restrict myself to that, you know, community, again, I'm teaching Bharatanatyam, which it is always called, it is the South Indian classical dance.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it is so restricted or put it in a cage and tied up,
mm-hmm,
to this is such a South Indian thing that, oh, I really don't understand much.
Yeah.
I also have danced Bharatanatyam on so many Hindi songs, Marathi songs.
This is something a lot of people don't know. Because, you know, as the music has no language, so the other arts as well have no languages. They can just pick it up. And your story is very unique in a lot of other ways. You went out of the region to learn some art form that connected you, and then you kind of mastered it. It's a very hard journey sometimes I see in the West Coast, because a lot of people who are putting immense effort have to run parallelly with something else to just meet with the right life.
Unfortunately, I don't want to be pessimist, but we don't get the same recognition when we go back to India. Like, when artists from India come here, they get amazing recognition.
That's
like they are
well received.
Yeah, and they get the whole process of doing a workshop, perform, and go touring at different places. However, there is still constraints when we go as an artist. They will not recognize us because they say,
I think the reason is because you haven't been on the bigger screens, bigger silver screens.
Right.
And they don't get that connect. I think that's a parody of being an artist, right? Even the South Asian artist, they also, most of them, I mean, not everybody could make it to top. So I think that's the artist parody. But somewhere we had to really find a way for the local talent, you know, that how this can become a big, and I'm sure there are many production houses now coming up. There are a lot of artpreneurs. There are a lot of the media managements who are taking immense amount of efforts. I think maybe we are just a call away, and that's the exact reason we are just having this discussion here. And we're just wishing that if, you know, there is something out there, looking forward to it.
Yeah, my vision is like there are ballet schools all over, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody has to think, even a minute to go learn ballet. There is no or any other genre. But when it comes to Indian classical dance, I still see that it is restricted only to the Indians. Of course, there are non-Indians, but that's a very small slot, right? But my vision is, I mean, I should just go to a school and be able to teach this art form and people come and embrace it. And I tried doing it last year with the Sakamoto school, elementary school, and I did have one non-Indian and one Indian learning. But again, as I said, it's so-called an Indian classical dance. Some people will think twice before they want to do it or what happens. So I hope that I somehow build that bridge. And I'm trying to do that by doing yogic dance at different yoga centers.
That's what it's coming to, Yogic dance, you have a lot of Americans, like the Native Americans, coming and joining you, because now most of us, everybody on the earth actually, are recognized that the yoga has a powerful technique for you to grow mentally and the physical benefits. And so I think that also helped you when you are saying about that you're taking yogic dance to those and they're enjoying it for several months
now. Absolutely. I have male dancers enjoying it. That's one of the ways to touch them. One of the ways to explain them what is Indian classical dance and how that rejuvenates your body, your seven chakras, the science behind it. And they love it. And I'm really grateful to them that they like it.
So I think slowly you're taking, and as you rightly said, you're trying to bridge the gap either through yogic dance and also this Disney production, the Adbhuta, is going to be one of that. You're building that bridge so that everyone can get touched upon and everyone understands. And there are a lot of nuances with the Indian classical dances that gives you as a part and parcel of it. Like, you know, a lot of Bharatanatyam students throughout their lifetime, they don't have a lot of uterus issues. And there is one research that was I was reading about it. And I was stunned to see that how come that the percentage of that, like, you know, is that way? Because the footwork, that makes a huge difference in balancing their internal organs.
Yes,
right?
And it's a very earthy dance. So in Bharatanatyam, if you see Bharatanatyam, Odissi, Kathakali, Mohiniyattam, these dances are very earthy dance. When I say earthy, I mean that we squat, you squat. So your body is aligned. So your whole chakras are aligned to the earth. So that brings in a lot of healthy benefits. Of course, the knees are at challenge, but that also can be achieved by doing the right kind of posture, doing the right kind of strengthening exercises. And it's a rich Indian classical art form, not restricted to any language. I want to say that unnecessarily, it's because it's been said the South Indian classical dance. I feel sad for the art form when you are always saying it is only from that corner. But over the years of, like, whatever 18 years I'm teaching in the US, we have seen significant changes, more students learning. I have around 25 adults learning Bharatanatyam.
Wow.
Recently, a young boy has joined learning Bharatanatyam.
You remember 4 years back, I was saying about it, and that's a great progress.
I know. So again, it is not restricted to any gender. Unfortunately, people say, oh, if you learn Bharatanatyam, a male cut. That's really not true.
Wonderful. So there is so much that's happening. And, you know, as an art pioneer in the West, basically West region, there are so many challenges that laid down because we have to take care of our lot of the home care.
Right.
When your kids are young, basically, and if you're an entrepreneur, it takes immense amount of energy because what happens is you have to reserve your week to cater your businesses. And if you have to do on top of this such kind of production and everything. So as a you see that that's a great classical dance teacher, but at the same time, she's back in the home, housewife. So then she's also a good mother. And then it's, you know, then it comes with everything. You have to make sure that you're dropping off kids, picking them up, managing their studies. At the same time, you're cooking them for every day. And taking, I don't remember the chores right now that you're doing, but there is A to Z that everybody has to do it here on top of it. And it's a story of every West Coast person. So doing something like this is very challenging.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But apart from this, what are some ecosystem challenges that stays within that you just mentioned, like as if the production houses are not coming together to look at this, or they're not approaching, or we are not aware of them to go and approach. So, there has to have some ecosystem build up to take care of this, and then that's when these things will flourish. Otherwise, if you just keep sitting and talking, it's not going to move the needle.
No.
So my thing is doing workshops, the ability to do workshop at different places. Like there are so many performing arts centers. Every university, I think, now has a performing arts center. Now, even in my daughter's school, they have musical theater, they have drama theater clubs. And it is mandatory for my daughter to take musical theater or performing arts to get credits. So say we manage to convince the educational system here to allow us to offer even Indian classical dance and music as a part of a curriculum, which has now happened in India. Which was my vision in 2004.
Yeah.
So this time when I went to India, my student Asanika, she told me that she is a Bharatanatyam teacher at one of the schools. And I said, Asanika, this was my vision in 2004. And she said, wow, I'm living my guru's vision. And I got tears because she said that's a part of the curriculum.
Wow.
It's a part of the curriculum. So here also, they should allow us teachers to go to different places and offer it and allow us to experiment. And that is something that will really blend in.
So that won't be categorized is what you mean.
That's
so you don't
saying.
Want to categorize the Indian classical art and it is perceived as an art and maybe all the universities get. There are some universities, there are. Well, Bollywood classes, some kids are taking Bollywood classes in the masters and bachelors.
Yes.
So I love to see when this is happening at a massive level. There are maybe one or two rare universities are picking up on this. But if this happens accessible to all, it does not restrict. That's when it will, I think, come to that level what you're looking forward to. So one question that you just raised that we teachers are not being approached, but I think it should also be the other way around. That you also have to go and see whether there are ways.
Which I do, because I approach my daughter's performing arts teacher. Like, can I do a workshop for them? And he was happy. He said, "Yeah, sure. After May, we can talk about it." Or I even went to the Silver Creek High School last year to ask if I can offer yogic dance to the high school students. I have a student who is a high school teacher. She said, "Shraddha Tai, you can come anytime and I'll make it happen." And just last month, I performed in Harkar.
Wow.
At two locations. One was Union Avenue and the other one was Campbell, I guess. And I had 200 to 300 kids in front of me.
Wow.
So things are going towards that. I'm sure in another 5 years, the picture will change.
Yeah.
It took 18 years for the picture to change. It will change more. And now with
the social media.
So the social media is also a platform where I can reach out to more people.
Right.
And talk about it. Yoga has become so popular. Right. So why not Indian classical dance and music?
Yeah, it will. I think it has to also been come up with the right research and provides the benefit, but definitely it does have a lot of impact. Now, it's a time for a surprise question.
Yes.
Our audience have given us surprise questions and I've picked one for you, which I felt like that is probably an apt for you. So it has come from Max. She lives in the Bay Area. And her question is, what is your one bucket list item that you like to openly commit to?
Wow, that's a good thing.
How?
There are so many. There's just so many. But I would love to do retreats at different places of Indian classical dance music.
for rejuvenation. That is one of the bucket list things I want to do.
Mm.
And the other day, I just thought, how would I have a wellness center of this sound, music, dance, and everything for wellness? So that is one of the bucket list things.
Wow. I'm actually happy that, you know, it just happened again on the spur. So there is not a lot of things that have went behind, and the rapid fire questions are really just on the spur rapid.
Yeah.
So, and I just wanted to tell the audience, like, you know, this was my first guest where the rapid fire questions, where the advice question will come or no, where things that happened or no, nothing was decided, and still we made it a big. And I think some of the inputs that you gave on that show, you actually started leaving them. And that's where I'm like, oh my God. Some people just walk the talk, and it's one of them. She had talked about a lot of things in that show. You must go and see that. And she actually lived that journey, right? She's approaching a lot of high schools. Then she talked like, we should reach out enough educational systems. And still you have that pinch, but you actually took a lot of steps towards it. Then next thing that we talk about, I think about your PhD also. After that, you went on to start your PhD work. The yogic dance also, it was just not coming together. And with the lockdown, you were like so tense now. What's being the future of it? And today, we see that a lot of Americans are also joining for this.
Yes.
And it's a good
graph. I've collaborated with gyms, yoga institutes.
Hmm.
And also, I'm working with one of my friends who is planning to have a retreat in Rishikesh next year.
Wow.
So I'm enjoying the journey and the process that whatever I dreamt or thought is actually happening.
Yeah. And that's where I'm like really a proud host of this podcast.
Awesome. Thank you.
Not just you. I have seen my many other guests. They have lived their vision. And some of them even told me, you provoked me on that thought. And I'm like, okay, that's what my job is.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see how they're improving the community with their thought leadership, with whatever skills they're master at. And I mean, I'm really thankful for that to you, that you open that, you leave that, and you're coming back to tell me the stories that I really want to share with all our community members. So let's come back to the rapid fire round. What is that one book that you like our audience to read, like our viewers to read?
One book on Abdul Kalam ji. You should read his autobiography. It's so beautiful.
Oh.
It's just so much philosophy behind it. It'll open your vision towards life.
And why Abdul Kalam ji?
Because I think he was the person who saw the independence of India. And then he came up to be a person who had that amazing leadership quality to push people, the next generation, to think differently. And that's how even I am, from embedded from inside. So that's something that really touched me. And his book do touch my heart. So please, I think that is one
okay,
of the books.
Okay, so that's Ring of Fire. Now the next question is for the successful artpreneur. What do you think, like, one should be more of an artist or more of an entrepreneur?
There has to be a blend of both. I have an MBA in marketing. And when I went for my interview for my MBA, the person who was taking my interview had seen my Arangetram.
Hmm.
So he's like, what are you doing here? So he's like, you are an excellent dancer. You don't need to do an MBA. I'm like, no, I want to know the marketing part of my institute. And there are many artists who lack this. And so you have to have a blend of both. See, you can't be perfect in every part.
Right.
But the knowledge never goes waste. So even if I did my MBA marketing, I didn't take a 9-to-5 job. I'm using all that experience towards my institute. That's why it is a different institute than what is a traditional one. I mean, kudos to them. All that, but my way of thinking was I need to reach out. What is marketing? Marketing is not selling. There are two things, selling a product and marketing a product, right? Marketing is giving knowledge. It's just giving knowledge is marketing. So this is what I'm trying to do.
Right.
Anyway, through classical dance, I'm giving knowledge. But how? What are the things that you will extract from it and give it to the new generation is what my master's degree allowed me to explore.
Oh, so she's a true entrepreneur, like artist and entrepreneur. Okay. So the next question is, what is that one mistake you think you have done it that, you know, boosted you or that triggered your lot of innovations that we are seeing now?
When I was in India, I didn't get a chance to go to the roots of Bharatanatyam. I was very restricted to Pune and Maharashtra. I wish I had taken a plunge of going to the south of India and seeing the temples, those cultures, and find more, you know, about it. So now that I am doing this for 18 years in this country,
wow,
I made sure, and especially the moment YouTube came into action, Zoom, all the social media, I'm digging in like a greedy person because there is so much. And every time I dig and there's a pearl that comes up and I'm like, wow, right? Which I didn't do when I was in India. And that was, I feel really bad about it. But oh, well, you know.
Yeah. But there is always a time.
Time.
But you are taking that efforts to go deep in your,
right,
whatever that you have learned. And so that you get the right meanings out of it and also scientifically backing up your own research that, you know, how it's going to stand out.
Right.
Okay. Now it's a funny question I just put together for you and I'm sure you're going to do well. Suppose you find yourself on a dinner table and there is a Shakira and Taylor Swift.
Oh my God.
Okay. What one thing you will do to converse and, you know, bring their attention to the conversation topic that you want to drift or whatever. Like, just tell me one thing that you will
You
do.
Know, I will actually recite a lovely jati.
You know, they
will be like, what is this? Because they both are writers. You know, and they sing as well.
Yeah, Shakira dances.
Yeah, right. So in all whatever dance move she does, you know, if I put in something like this, she might have an eye, you know, because Michael Jackson, remember there's this black and white dance.
Yeah.
And then you see Bharatanatyam girl there. So I think they should also know what goes behind our art form. I'm sure somewhere they are already aware of it.
Ooh.
But there is so much to explore in our own music.
Yeah. So maybe I thought you would just give them a call. Why don't we do some fusion together?
This is a part of fusion, right? Yeah, there is a fusion where you are blending in a jati of classical dance and then they will put some kind of rap on it probably and bring in instrument of different kinds and put them together and then you do a dance. You never know, she might even hear me.
I wish that happens. And now, you know, this kind of hypothetical dinner comes out to be true. And one last rapid fire question. So, you know, as a dance teacher or as a guru, what is that one quality you constantly observe in yourself? One quality that you adore the most in the gurus and you want that to be imbibed in yourself and give the best of yours to the student. What is that one quality that you do it?
Being strict, putting the foot down. That is one of the things that I have to constantly work on myself. Because sometimes I get a little lenient, okay, fine. But what happens is the moment you kind of become lenient, then the students are like, oh, it's okay. For her, it's okay. But then I have to remind myself, no, it is not okay. Because this is a Guru Shishya Parampara. I mean, several years this parampara is going on. Keeping those tradition, why we should keep those tradition? What is the benefit of that? Having uniforms in the dance class, wearing practice sari, putting a bindi on, coming to the class, prepared for the class. Not like, oh, I come once a week, I'll do something and go. No, you go back, you go through the practice, what you learned. Because I always tell them, what they're doing with me in the dance class is not practice. They are learning. When they go back and practice, that is their proper riyaz. That is finding themselves. So when they are practicing at home, they can find the positive and the negative parts of themselves. And they can, there, I am not staring at them. Right? They are in their own little room And they will know, okay, you know, my posture is not good. I need to work more. These are the things I can do. Because when I'm in the class and I'm staring at them and there are another 10 girls, many times, not necessarily I can give attention to each one.
Right.
So this is the me time.
Hmm.
So I have to, I push that a lot.
Hmm.
So I'm hoping I continue to do it.
So it's a strictness quality.
Right. I have to become more and more on that.
Yeah. And as we are looking forward to wrap up this, you know, the whole episode, we have one interesting advice question for you to our community. Many of our community members are passionate heart people. And they're the ones who are looking to diverse themselves in multiple fields, you know. So since you are an artpreneur, I'd like to know, in order to be as successful in this field, what is that for the migrant community members as an artpreneur that you like to provide an advice to attend their successful summits?
Do a research on what you are planning to do. Secondly, come up with a nice plan. What is your goal when you start a certain project? How you see yourself in the next 5 years? What are the things you think you will give to the next generation? Don't just blindly start an institute. Do a good plan. What are the marketing things you can do? Right away, you're not going to make money. Let me make it very blunt. Okay. It's not going to be there. So you have to be well prepared. Like, you have plan B. That until I come to this level where I am sufficient enough, I will have something to hang on to. Or you say that, okay, I'm right now not looking for making a lot of money in the next 1 or 2 years, but I am going to do whatever it takes to make it successful. Because the generation right now is in Insta mode. They want right away publicity. They want right away money making. They want the right away recognition, which is not going to happen. It takes time, it takes credits, it takes criticism, it takes a whole lot of work and to also improve and work on yourself. Constant work on yourself. Be it fitness-wise, be it psychological, you have to work on yourself. Otherwise, it will be a tough time for you to get there.
Right.
And patience. Again, you know, as Sai Baba says, Shraddha and Saburi both are important. So just because on Instagram, once you'll get a million likes, that does not set your life. Please.
Yeah. And the life is beyond that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. And this was wonderful advice.
Yeah.
And so again, I'll give the call for the 5th May production that's happening.
Please
for Adbhuta. Please make sure and attend that show. The tickets are just as a coffee cost. For kids, it is 50% reduced. And of course, we are doing the raffle. If you are a passionate for this podcast YouTube subscriber and a Kalavishkar YouTube subscriber and an Insta subscriber, you are entering to the raffle. But for that, you also need to fill out the form. You can also message us on 341-209-0102. Either text or WhatsApp saying that I am in for Adbhuta. And just give your name and age and you will be entering. And the raffle will be open on the YouTube live of Kalavishkar. One of the students will be picking up that name. And we are waiting you as the audience there. And of course, I am going there to watch this whole show along with my 6-year-old. And we are excited to watch this Disney production. And I'm, you know, giving you a very best luck for this show.
Thank you.
And I just wish, you know, some of the Disney people can just come and witness this event.
I'm going to Disneyland next week. So
I'll talk to them.
I'll go and talk to them.
I'm doing a show. Come and see how differently we are presenting.
I know.
And any sponsorship calls, they're open. We'll be providing her details, her website and her contact links. So that if you are interested in sponsoring this production, that can definitely help them to at least meet the operational costs that they are not even meeting yet. So thank you and wonderful to have you.
Hello, Passionate Pulse listeners. Pradhan here, your host. Are you a business owner looking to amplify your brand's reach? Or maybe you know an expert who deserves the mic? This is your moment. Advertise with us or recommend a fascinating guest for our podcast. Unlock the airwaves and connect with Bay Area enthusiasts. Dial at 341-209-0102 and let's make your story roar. Passionate Pulse Podcast, where your tales ignite. Call us now at 341-209-0102. Let's champion the spirit of positive change together.